make things the way they ought to be. I mean, Cal, you're involved in Love 146, saying we're trying to make it. Should young girls and even young boys be sold into sex slavery? Absolutely not. So as Christians, what do? We try to make things the way they ought to be. Ought not to be like that. That's peace. And there's coming a time when Jesus comes back, and it'll instantly. And by the way, in doing that, there will be some crushing going on, right? There'll be in flaming fire. Jesus will take vengeance on those who don't know God. And it will bring in peace. Sometimes to bring peace, you've got to get rid of those who are destroying peace. That's why I spent some time as a Green Beret. I think that's part of the peace mission. And so he will come and he will make all things right again. Let me read to you from Revelation 1. Grace and peace to you from the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. From Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and who has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve God the Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, Jesus, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him, and peace will come. Why, the Prince of Peace will be here. And on that Christmas morning when the Son of God was brought into the world, even in that humble scene, it was a strange peace which foresaw the ushering in of the peace he would bring when he rules and reigns forever. Let me give you four things we want to think about in light of this. Number one, we should appreciate the peace of God. What I mean by that is we should thank the Lord for the extent to which he went to bring us peace, right? What did he do to bring us peace? He died on the cross. That's amazing. He died. We had no peace. He had total peace. He left this glory of total peace and comes and experiences turmoil so that we could have peace. Who does that? Who does that? A loving God. That's who does that. Think about that, leaving the peace and glory of heaven to be 9 months in the womb. I don't have any recollection of being in the womb. When I was in it, it was a safe place. It ain't a safe place anymore, my friends, unfortunately. I think the way it ought to be is babies on a board out of the mother's belly. It's the way it ought to be. And that's fallen on hard times among evangelicals, because we can be against a lot of other things, and that's popular. So the world says, oh, yeah, we're against that too. But you say you're against abortion. Oh, you're one of those right-wing wackos. No, I'm a follower of God, and he loves life. And the way it ought to be is that babies shouldn't be ripped out of their womb of their mamas and killed. That's the way it ought to be. So we'll be about that too. But they want out of there, don't they? Anyone more than 7 months pregnant right now? They want out. Why? They're kicking you. Matter of fact, you want them out too. Why are they kicking you? That's not that they don't like you. They want out, right? Well, I need some space. Then you give them space and the whole head. And anyway, I'm not going to get into that. He was beaten and crucified by the hands of sinful men. Why did he do that? He did it for us. We were enemies. Listen to Colossians 1. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, this is Jesus, by him to reconcile everything to himself, by him, I say, whether there be things on earth or things in heaven, and you were alienated, the enemies in your mind by wicked works, he's reconciled. How? In the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you holy. Listen, you are unholy, you are unworthy, and he came and loved you and lived for you and died for you to make you worthy. So that you could have peace with God. And that leads us to the second thing. We should experience peace with God. The only way we can experience peace with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, at Christmas time, everyone's about peace, and it's been ceasefires during Christmas time, and that's wonderful. I'm glad for that. But listen, for you to have peace with God, there's only one way. There's only one way, and it's Jesus. There's no other way. You might be able to experience some sort of semblance of some order on earth, and maybe some peace, a false peace that's not eternal on earth, but you'll never experience vertical peace without Jesus. He is our peace. Not I am my peace, not He is our peace. And you must come to the point where you recognize that Jesus died for the sins of the world, that He was buried buried as He died on the cross, and He rose again to be victorious over sin in the grave. And the Bible says that's good news, because every one of us have what? Sinned. So you know how many of us are guilty before God? How many? That goes down tough for us, right? Especially evangelicals, we like to judge. We like to declare people guilty. Here, I'm here to tell you this morning, we're all guilty. We all deserve a death sentence. And someone died yours, if you're a believer, and someone died mine, and that was Jesus. Think of that. And the reason you're declared, listen, the reason you're declared right with God has nothing to do with you, it has everything to do with Him. You got that? The reason you're right with God has everything to do with Him and nothing to do with you. That's why Topley wrote in his marvelous hymn, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross. It's all I have. All my hope is in Christ. He is my peace." And so we should experience peace with God. And again, that comes when we repent, we come to God, and we recognize our need and ask Jesus to save us from our sin, and recognizing that He alone can save. Well, number three, we should sense the peace of God. This is that internal peace. Remember Jesus said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you." Listen to this phrase, "my peace." That's pretty good peace, right? You know, the peace that we said that He experienced. "My peace I" what? "I give to you. Not as the world gives. I will not take it away. My peace I give to you." Paul said in Colossians 3, "Let the peace of God rule" where? "In your heart." Let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart. How do you get that? By focusing on Him, by keeping your eyes riveted on Him. Platinga says this, "Shalom," again, the way things ought to be, "it would include, for instance, strong marriages, secure children. Nations and races in this brave world would treasure differences in other nations and races as attractive, important, complementary. In the process of making decisions, men would defer to women and women to men until a crisis arose. Then, with good humor all around, the person more naturally competent in the air of the crisis would solve it to the satisfaction and pleasure of both. Government officials would still take office. Someone has to decide which streets are clean on Tuesday and Wednesday. But to nobody's surprise, they would tell the truth and freely praise virtues of other public officials. Public telephone books would be left." This was time sensitive, right? "Public telephone booths would be left intact. Highway overpasses would be free of graffiti. Tow truck drivers and erring motorists would be serene on inner city streets. Business associates would rejoice in one another's promotions. Middling Harvard students would respect Phi Beta Kappas from the University of North Dakota. And intercontinental ballistic missile silos would be converted into training tanks for scuba divers if things were the way they ought to be." Lastly, we should anticipate full peace and joy in the future. See, we can, by the grace of God, we can work to bring peace. The greatest thing we can do to bring peace to people's hearts is to present the gospel, right? Present the gospel, that people would know God and have peace with Him and have the peace of God. And then to use our gifts and talents to do the bidding of God in the world and bring peace in many opportunities we can. But ultimately, the only way it's going to be total peace is when Jesus comes back. And don't you want that? Now, maybe after Christmas we get to open our presents, but don't you want that, right? That Jesus will return. I want you to turn. We're going to close with Revelation 19. So turn there and let me close with this. Revelation 19. We know in Revelation 21 it says, "And God will wipe away" what? "All tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death and sorrow, no crying, there will be no more pain. The former things have passed away." And what John is saying is he's saying all the things that inhibit full peace and joy will be missing in glory. What inhibits it? Sin. There will be no more sin. That causes death. There will be no more sorrow, no more decay. And when we're in heaven, it will all be different. And what sets it up? We see in Revelation 19, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse," verse 11. The one sitting on is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, crowns, I think some of your versions say. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses, that's us. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Listen, he will reign forever and forever. And when he does, we will then live in this place where there is total peace all the time, a sinless place. Now, let me say this. Remember, in the beginning, I talked about those frozen moments that bring you great joy, okay? Why don't you think of one? One of the neatest moments in your life, one of those moments that every time you think about just brings warmth to your heart, brings joy to your soul. Okay, you got it? Could you imagine if you could experience all the joy of whatever that was, however short or however long it was, you could experience in 1 second. Now I want you to take another one, one of those other moments, and then you put it right on top of that one, and you experience that one at the same time as the first one. And then you take another one, and you put it on top of that one, and you experience all the joy, that sense of overwhelming happiness and peace that it brought you, and you experience all in the same moment. And you pile all of your moments up, and you experience all that joy at the same moment, that is eternity. That is a foretaste of forever, of forever. That's a microscopic taste of what we're in for, because in heaven, time will be frozen. It'll be frozen. Listen, no wonder we're getting a new body. If we could experience all that in one moment, we'd blow up, wouldn't we? Yeah, we couldn't take it. Our hearts would explode. In that day, we will experience the joy and the fullness of all that we could ever imagine forever and forever and forever and forever. Are you up for that day? You up for that? Listen, that's what I would pray we'd enjoy during Christmas. The frozen moments that point us to that day to say, listen, time might be rough now. Things are difficult. Life's things are pushing up against us. There's some things we love to change. We're trying to change that won't change. But there's coming the Prince of Peace who will make all things the way they ought to be someday. And that is my great hope in my heart. And the hope isn't something I hope it happens. It's a confident expectation based on my God's character, who said, what I have promised, that I will do. Praise to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that in that manger was the Prince of Peace. The one who has the right to rule over all. And as we've seen in Revelation 5, he grabbed the scroll to the earth. He's able to bring in forever. He's the one who's worthy, the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son on a mission as the Prince of Peace to become our peace, because we're enemies. We rebelled against you. We sinned against you. But you sent your Son to die for us and to rise again, and to grant to all those who come to him peace with you, your peace in us, and then through us to enact peace in our world until Jesus comes, when perfect peace will arrive. Until that day, help us be faithful. Help us be ministers of peace. Help us be those who experience peace. Help us be those who appreciate what you did to bring us peace. And we pray in the name of the one who came to this earth to live for us and die for us, His name is Jesus. And all God's people said,